morning. It's good to see everyone. I want to also thank Reb Zevi for taking care of the sheets this week. I was unable to do so. So thank you, Ushkaref, to Reb Zevi. After the Torah, in Parashas Emor tells us about the Iser of a kohen coming in contact with the Tamei Meis and his prohibition from marrying a grusha, zayin v'chalala. The Torah continues, v'kidashta, ki aslechem alakecha hu makriv. You have to be makadosh to kohanim because they do the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Kadosh yeloch. They should be kadosh to you. So the Gemara comments in Masechtas Gittin, daf nun tes mebeis on that pasuk, v'kidashtoi l'chol davar shebekdusha. If it comes to a matter of a davar shebekdusha, l'ftayach rishon, l'vadach rishon, v'lito mano yofa rishon. You're supposed to allow them to speak first, to bench first, to make the bracha first aliyah, and to take the best portion. And it sounds like from this Gemara, at least the simple interpretation, is that we're dealing with the mitzvah midorais, and in fact this is quoted by the Mane HaMitzvahs as a mitzvah, one of the Tayyak Mitzvahs, to be Makadesh, Mechabed, the Kaihanim, to give them the first Aliyah, got them to speak to first, to give them the first portion. The Magen Avram, though, already asks, that, in our times, he says that we are not as Nizhar, and this is perhaps we should be, but Tzarechi and Lama ain't Nizhar and Achshav, Lahakdim HaKoyim, L'Chohanach Mili. Of course, we give the first aliyah, but in other matters, we're not as makbid. Particularly since we're dealing with a mitzvah midday rice. And rice the magen avram ve'efshar de'ein anu bekiyim b'yichusei kohanim. Perhaps our kohanim are not legitimate, bona fide kohanim. To a certain degree, they're suffolk kohanim. Because the Rambam writes in Perek Chof of Hilchas Yisuri B'ya Halacha Beis, who is a kohen meyuchas? He's quoting here from the Gemara in Ksubis, Chofeyam at Aleph. Who is a kohen meyuchas? Someone who calls she idulo shnei edim shu kain ben pliny hakain upliny ben pliny hakain ad is sheino tzarch b'dik v'kain sheshima shagabim izbeach. You need testimony that you were descended from a kain who was in turn descended from a kain who did the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. So it sounds like for the Rambam, you need two edim to testify to the fact that you are in fact a legitimate kain. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, in the absent of this kind of testimony, the Kohanim, writes the Rambam, are only Kohani Chazaka. If it writes the Rambam, Koha Kohanim b'zman hazeh b'chazaka him Kohanim. And therefore says the Rambam, they cannot eat Shuma Doi Raisa, Chala Doi Raisa, they can only eat Shuma Doi Rabbanon, because they're only Kohani Chazaka. So argues the Magen Avraham, perhaps they have the status really as Sufik Kohanim. We're not sure if they're Kohanim or not. And therefore says the Magen Avraham, perhaps therefore we're not as careful, medactic in this mitzvah v'kidashto, to be mechabed the Kohanim in our times. And Magen Avraham interprets in this light the comment of the Rama. The Rama writes in Hilchas Pesach that we don't have the practice of giving truma or chala nowadays to kohanim. Now the kohen couldn't eat the truma or the chala anyway because he's a tamei meis. But in chutz la'aretz, there's no limitation on chala chutz la'aretz to a tamei meis. A person who's a tamei meis can eat chala chutz la'aretz. At the same time, we don't have the practice of giving chala to the kohen. So ask the Magen Avraham, why not? The Magen Avraham says, because the Kohen is only a Suffolk Kohen. Maybe he's a Kohen, maybe he's not. So to take the Chal on the false pretenses would be a Suffolk Isa Gezel. So therefore says the Ramah, that's how the Magen Avraham interpreted the Ramah, that we don't have the practice of giving Chal anymore to the Kohen.
How many generations went to Rambam? How many generations back does he have to be made?
To the Beis HaMikdash, Avodah the Beis HaMikdash. All the way back.
Is that possible?
At the time, the avoiding the Beis HaMikdash was possible. Now, in our time, not possible.
Not possible.
So, all of our Kohanim and Kohanim Chazaka argues the Magen Avraham. We know the Kohanim Chazaka, but argues the Magen Avraham, they're Suffolk Kohanim. That the Rambam doesn't say, the Magen Avraham is adding that to the Rambam. Or similar.
I'm sorry if I used the gear.
I know already. He's on the defensive. Right? Yeah. We'll get to you.
Why can't someone say he wants to give challah? It's not vakfit.
I mean, I'm Michael to you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Duke is in the head.
Instead of burning it, he could say, I'll give it, you'll make it.
I'm not shocked.
Again, he's plugging for himself. No one wants to be Michael Yubachala. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. Unfortunately. A similar light, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the She'eila Siyavitz Chelakav Simen Kufnon Hey, that's why the kohen is not actually allowed to keep the money of the Pidyon HaBen. Many kohanim return the Chamesh Shloim of Pidyon HaBen, writes the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that they have to. Of course, the person can't give the money of Pidyon HaBen as a matana manas lahachzir. That would detract from the complete gift that he's given to the kohen, but at the same time, the kohen is not allowed to keep it because he's only a Suffolk kohen. That's the, it would be like Suffolk Iser Gezel Biyodoy. Similarly, they quote in the name of the Gra in the Sefer Elias Eliyahu. It's well known that the Gra, who was a Bechar, would be, you know, had the practice of being kohen himself whenever he met the new family of Kohanim. Because it was Cheshish, that maybe the kohen that he gave the pidyon ben to wasn't in fact a kohen Musav. And in fact, this was one of the reasons that was brought up by Rabbi Kiva Eger as to why we cannot reinstate the Kabbanos Bizman Azeh, in responding to a suggestion of Ritzvi Hirsch Kalischer in his time in the 1700s, who wrote a suggestion about how to reinstate the Kabbanos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger argued that it's not possible because our Kohanim are not, in fact, bona fide legitimate Kohanim. We should treat them as even the Kohanim Chazaka, but we should treat them as Sufik Kohanim. However, Rav Achronim do not agree with this Magen Avraham. Firstly, because we do recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. If all of our Kohanei Chazaka, it's true we don't have two Eidim, but if all of our Kohanei Chazaka will be treated as Safek Kohanim, how do we make a bracha on Pidyon HaBen? It should be a Safek Brachas Lekula. Or we allow the Kohanim to Duchen. If they were all Safek Kohanim, they shouldn't be allowed to make a bracha. It should be a Safek Brachas Lekula. And that cannot be the reason that we don't give the Kohanim Chala. It's because they're Safek Kohanim, it's like a Safek Izur Gezel. Because the Rambam said, even Kohanei Chazaka are allowed to eat truma and challah derabanan, and all of challahs chutz la'aretz in our times is derabanan. The Rambam writes even challah in Eretz Yisrael, truma in Eretz Yisrael in our times, where the majority of Klal Yisrael doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, is only derabanan. The pasuk says ki savayu ha'aretz, that you need bias kuchem. The majority of Klal Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael. So nowadays truma is only derabanan. So kahani chazaka should have been able to eat challah nowadays. So that cannot be the reason that we don't give them a challah, because we treat them as Safek Kohanim. And in fact, most Achrayim conclude that they have the status as a legitimate, bona fide Kohanim. If you look in the Rambam writes in Perek Chaf of Hilchas Yisurei Biyah, Halacha Yud Gimel, that if a Kohen presents himself and testifies about himself that he's a Kohen, he's prohibited from marrying a Grusha, a Zayin of a Chalola, and he's not allowed to be Metame Lameis. Ve'im Nosa Oinitma, like if he does marry a Grusha, or he is Metame Lameis, we can administer Malkus. Now, normally, to administer Malkus, you need two witnesses to attest to the fact that the person violated an Ezer that carries with it the penalty of Malkus. Over here, though, how did we establish the fact that he's a Kohen in the first place? It's only by his own admission. So it sounds like for the Rambam, his own admission is sufficient in order to administer Malkus, which normally should have required two witnesses. So the Shef Schmeitzer writes that that's predicated based upon another Rambam, where the Rambam writes in Perek Tezayin Sanhedrin Halacha Vav that normally, again, to administer Malkus, you would need two witnesses. However, says the Rambam, that's only to attest to the fact that a person violated a certain action. You know, did he wear shatnez? Did he not wear shatnez? So you need two witnesses to testify to the fact that he wore shatnez, that he was worn, then you can administer Malkus. But says the Rambam, to establish the status of an item, is this shatnez or is it not shatnez? Is this person a kohen or is he not a kohen? So says the Rambam there that for that, to establish the status, the identity of a person, that's enough with one witness. Says the Rambam, if an eid echad comes and testifies that this person, this woman is a grusha or a zayna, by the same token, this person is a kohen, says the Rambam, hareza loika, afa pisha ikar ha'iser be'eid echad. Even though the status was only established by one witness, that is sufficient to later administer Malkus based on two witnesses who see him marrying the Grusha, the Chalala, or being Matame Lameis. Why? So the Achrayim explain, because when the status of something is touches on many different areas of Halacha, for example, the status of the Kohen, so that could be judged as a matter of Isav HaHeter. Can he Duchen? Can't he Duchen? Can he take Pidyon HaBen? Can he not take Pidyon HaBen? And in those arenas, one witness should have been enough. So since the status of the Kohen touches on many different areas of Halacha, once we establish his identity, his status, in one area of Halacha, even if with one aid, that now is relevant to defining his status with regards to other areas of Halacha, which might in fact independently have required two witnesses. Just as an example, of another example, instance where you see a similar concept, is the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Ksubis and Aftez Vavim et Aleph, that Ein Hokum in a Fashas Acha Haroiv, to administer capital punishment, you require absolute certainty. We cannot administer capital punishment based on circumstantial evidence. It has to be absolute certainty, not even a roiv. Not good enough. However, the Achrayim ask, but one of the Isurim in the Torah is, for which you chayv misa, a makes of a person who strikes his father. is chayiv misa. So ask the haflah on that Gemara, Masechtas Ksubas, Tezvav and Meralev, how do we ever administer misa for a person who hits his father? We don't know with absolute certainty that he's his father. Yes, the Gemara tells us, Roiv Be'ilo Sachar Habal. Presumably, it is his father. He is the father because he's married to his mother. So we would presume that he is his father. But again, we don't know with absolute certainty. Roiv Be'ilo Sachar Habal. We could assume that he is, but we don't know with absolute certainty. So how do we ever administer capital punishment for a person who strikes his father? We don't know with absolute certainty that he's the father. So Rais Tafla, no, since we establish his status, his identity as the father vis-a-vis other halachas, Kibbut Aviyim, and there it's enough with a lower threshold of proof. It's enough with, you know, his own admission or circumstantial evidence. So even when it comes then to a matter of capital punishment, since his status, his identity has been established here, we can presume that it applies elsewhere as well. So too argues the Chazon Ish, that our kohanim should not be considered suffer kohanim. As long as he presents himself as a kohen, and he knows that he's a kohen because his father was a kohen and his grandfather was a kohen, and maybe other people in the town remember them being kohanim, so that should be sufficient in order to establish him as a legitimate kohen, and would not be treated as a suffer kohen. Chazon Ish writes the requirement of having two witnesses was in fact a chumer midr rabbanan. The Chazon Ish writes over here, Oizvav, in his comments on Hilchos Shviyos, that was a chumer midr rabbanan meikar adin. You could establish his status as a kohen based on one witness, or perhaps his own testimony, his own admission. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, it was only a chumer midr rabbanan, a maila also biyuchsin, that they required two witnesses. And therefore, concludes the Chazon Ish, about ha'inna, where in our times where there are no kohanim yuchasim, there are no levim yuchasim who have this. Reached this threshold of two witnesses that could trace back all the way to the time of doing avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, says the Chazon Ish, perhaps the chumra never applied either. And even the Maila also be yuchsin of requiring two witnesses to consider him a vaday kohen would not apply in our times of Eishleimar. About ha'inna she'en lanu levi miyuchas roi litna. He says, nowadays it should have been enough even to give him truma or chala. The only reason, says the Chazon Ish, we don't give the kohen chala, even in chutzlar, so it's only midrabbanan, is we don't want to encourage people, phony kohanim, to appear on the scene for the financial gain that's involved. So we don't give them chala. But the truth of the matter is that they're vaday kohanim. Absolutely. We could have given them chala, but we don't do it not to encourage phonies or imposters.
Besides the afrasha, which is a mitzvah,
yes.
Mitzvah to give to
them. Yes, two separate mitzvahs, yes. Therefore, writes the Chazon Ish, on the last line, Alpha Gav Shanoistin Pidin Aben Lakoyin. How then do we give Pidin Aben to Kohen? Aren't we afraid it's going to encourage phony Kohanim, imposter Kohanim, for the financial gain? Efshe Mishum Shein Bazer Revach Shanoigin Shakoyin Machzir. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, he approves of the practice that the Kohen returns the Chamish Shloim, not because he can't keep it, he's not a legitimate Kohen, he is, but because we don't want to encourage phonies or imposters.
Why did you say that for Chala, the same one?
Same thing, yeah. Good question. And he should return it. But we can't do anything with it.
We can't do anything. By saying that because they can't marry Grusha.
So that's no good. That's no good. They don't have the status of Suffolk Kahanim, and they're prohibited to marry a Grusha Derabanan, Chalutza Derabanan. We don't treat it as a Suffolk. They say Kahanim or Suffolk Derabanan, Lakuli can marry a Grusha Derabanan. However, Rav Moshe does write, in Chelek Daled Evan Ezra Simon Yud Aleph, Rav Moshe says that if the person does not have any religious relatives, his father was not religious, his grandfather was not religious, they might have had a Messiah that they were Kohanim, you know, passed down a tradition in the family, that they were Kohanim, but none of them are religious in terms of the fact that their testimony would be invalid in all areas of Halacha. So then Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't think that they have the status of a Kohen, not Vadai, not Suffolk. Rav Moshe claims that such a person would be allowed to marry a Grusha, unless he has relatives who were at some point religious, be it a grandfather, a great-grandfather who conducted himself as a Kohen, then he has the status of a Kohen. Otherwise, Rav Moshe writes, they're not even Kohen Chazaka, because their Chazaka is not predicated upon something that could be relied upon.
If a Baal Tshuva Kohen walks in, you can't give him an Aliyah?
Baal Tshuva Kohen, how many generations is he a Baal Tshuva? That's what you have to figure out. And if you're right, if he doesn't have, in his recollection, is not to any...
No, he goes to the Beis HaKoros and he finds a kever with the hands of his grandfather.
And the grandfather was a religious Jew, then yes. If not, no. So you have to do a lot of research of these interesting cases. Okay, so that cannot be a reason why we're not nizer in the mitzvah of a kiddushah, is because we treat the kohanim as suffering kohanim. They in fact have the status as legitimate bona fide kohanim. However, there might be, there are two other suggestions that are made by the Rishonim, which might, you know, limit the application of this mitzvah of the Kiddushah to be mechabed the Kohanim. Either perhaps because nowadays the Kohanim are not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, or does the mitzvah apply in an instance where the Kohen was Meichel on his covet? So the Hagais Mordechai, on that Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, quotes a famous Maisa that occurred with Rabbeinu Tam. Maisa Bekohen Shiyosek Maima Yidei Rabbeinu Tam. It was a Kohen, Talmud, who washed the Netilas Yadayim for Rabbeinu Tam. The Hikshaloi Talmud, a different Talmud, Nunik, asked him, but it's stated in Yushalmi, also based on the Pasuk Vikidashtai, Hamishtamish Bekohen Moyal. A person who uses Kohanim for his own personal benefit is, in a certain sense, violated the Isser in the Torah of Me'ilah, like using the items of the Beis HaMikdash for his own personal benefit. V'heishiv lo, said, yes, Rabbeinu Tam, how could you allow the Kohen to wash your hands? V'heishiv lo, Rabbeinu Tam responded, that ein behem kedusha bizman hazeh. They don't have kedusha any longer in our times. The kaimalam bigdeim aleim kedusha aleim. When they're during the service in the Beis HaMikdash, there's an Isser Me'ilah. Nowadays, they're no longer doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Me'ilah. V'iloi loi. So the Talmud was persistent. V'hiksha im kain. Kol mini kedusha loy le'avilahu. Why do we give them the first aliyah then? If this only applies at the time that the Kohanim are doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yisrael HaMishtamish b'koin mo'el, so why do we give them then any covet at all? Im kain kol mini kedusha loy le'avilahu. V'shasik Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was quiet. V'heishav Rabbeinu Peter. Rabbeinu Peter was a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam, younger, so he came to the rescue Rabbeinu Tam. True, they still have Kedusha, but the Kohen can be Meichel, and here the Kohen was Meichel in order to wash the hands of the Rabbeinu Tam. Here the Kohen can be Meichel, keep it Aviyem. Here the Kohen can be Meichel in order to wash the hands of the Rabbeinu Tam. Did Rabbeinu Tam, does he hold that Mechila does not work? So the Achrayim, Aruch HaShulchan, and the Simen Kuf Chav Ches, where many of these halachas appear, as well as the Chidushim of the Ksav Sofer and the Gemara Masechet Tizkin, the Ksav Sofer quotes in the name of the Chsam Sofer, who both said that Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rabbeinu Peter that Mechila works. Meaning, if the Kohen is Meichel, so then there's no obligation necessarily to be Mechabit the Kohen. However, Rabbeinu Tam was adding one additional condition, one additional caveat, that that's only true when the Kohen is not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohen would be doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so then, even if he's Meichel, there's still an obligation to be Mechabit him. But if he's not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that's when Rabbeinu Tam held that the Kohen can be Meichel, and clearly here the Kohen was Meichel by the fact that he was washing the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. But in fact, the opinions of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Peter, complement one another. They don't mean to be mutually exclusive. Rabbeinu Tam held that Mechila works. He was just adding that it only works at the time when they're not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That is, in my opinion, somewhat of a difficult pshat. If that were, in fact, the pshat of Rabbeinu Tam, so the main thrust of it is not that the Kohanim are not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, with Mancha Bigdeim Aleim Kunasim Aleim, he should have started out with the fact that he was Meichel. That's really the thrust of the argument of Rabbeinu Tam then. So, many Achrayim therefore disagree with the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chsam Sofer, and they understood that over here there's a machlekes. Rabbeinu Tam holds that even if the Kohen is Meichel, there's an obligation to be Mechabit the Kohen. You cannot be Meichel when it comes to this mitzvah of the Kiddushah. And that's how the Taz learns on Shulchan Aruch, that the Kohen, even if the Kohen is Meichel, there's an obligation to be Mechabit the Kohen. The Taz understood, though, over here that Rabbeinu Tam was trying just to be Deicha the Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam understood that over here, there was no ease of HaMishtamish B'Kohen Mo, it wasn't a violation of the Kiddushah, because Rabbeinu Tam felt that to wash his hands was not a covered, was not to be mishtamish b'kayin. He was giving the kayin an opportunity to do, he was being machabed the kayin. See, to wash my hands, you know, that's missing the kayin. Being machabed is covered to wash my hands. Rabbeinu Tam held that he was such a gadol ador. It was a kibbutz to wash the hands of Rabbeinu Tam, so he's being machabed the kayin. L'mashal, if Reb Chaim Kanievsky would come for Shabbos, we could probably auction off the covered of washing the hands of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I'm sure we could. So it'd be a covered to wash the hands of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, so Rabbeinu Tam held. It was a cover to wash his hands. That's why he didn't want to respond. So he's just trying to be derech of the Talmud. Says, it only applies to much of Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. You know, when they're doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't apply nowadays. And the Talmud asked them weiter. So why do we give him the first Aliyah? So Rabbeinu Tam already at that point was shosak. He was quiet because he didn't want to tell him, no, it's a cover to wash my hands. He didn't want to say that. However, and then Rabbeinu Peter explained in a different way that it's because the Kohen could be Merchel on his coven. But the Taz really argues that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Kohen cannot be Merchel on his coven, and the only time one would be allowed to use a Kohen is if it's a coven for the Kohen himself to do that service, to wash the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. That's the argument of the Taz. Again, I find that somewhat difficult. If that's the pshat, how could Rabbeinu Tam make up an answer that's incorrect? That it only applies bisman shebigdeim aleim kunasim aleim, but he didn't mean that. He didn't mean that it's limited to that time. He really meant it's a cover to wash my hands. I understand why he was quiet, but I understand how he could make up a reason that in fact is incorrect.
By a king, where ink for a machol, that if it's a cover for the king to do it, then all of a sudden they
also should be allowed. Yes. Correct. Yeah.
No paragon for something like that.
Yeah. But more bothersome is how could he say something that's incorrect? Bisman shebigdeim aleim kunasim aleim. If he didn't mean that. So then I find that I understand the Nunuk Talmud problem, but I don't think that's fair.
Swear the kid was putting him down.
The kid was putting him down.
Down.
So Rabbeinu Tam. Right. It still occurs. I find the pshat difficult. So perhaps, though, we could distinguish, according to Rabbeinu Tam, between the Isser B'Mishtamish B'Kohen and the mitzvah of Vikidashta. Perhaps Rabbeinu Tam held that the Isser being Mishtamish B'Kayin is a personal obligation that we have of a Koras HaToy, for cover due to the Kayin who does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash to this particular Kayin. It's an Isser, and this individual Kayin, I'm not allowed to use him because he does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, argues Rabbeinu Tam, that when it comes to that Isser being Mishtamish B'Kayin, if he's not doing the Avodah personally in the Beis HaMikdash, I don't have to be mechabit this individual kohen. Lamashal, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Sanhedrin that the kohen has to take a haircut every 30 days. Because he's doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he should dress the part. So he should have the proper haircut. A kohen gadol once a week. However, the Gemara says that that's only when they're doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If they're not doing the avodah, he doesn't have to take a haircut every 30 days. Why? Because that's his own personal covet for this individual, because he's doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. However, it could be Rabbeinu Tam held that was only by the Isser being Mishtamish B'Kayin. Then the Talmud asked him, so then why do we mechabit the Kohanim at all? Why do we give them the first Aliyah in Shul? So it could be that Rabbeinu Tam understood the mitzvah v'kidashtoi of being giving the Kohanim the first Aliyah in Shul is an entirely different obligation. That's not an individual obligation to the on a personal level to the Kohen, that's an obligation to be mechaved the Shevet of Kohanim, the group of Kohanim, because they are the ones who are designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's kind of a vicarious method, vehicle of giving cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's perhaps why, for example, we give the Kohen the first Aliyah in Shul, but we have to be mechaved the Kohanim. Why don't we have to give the Kohen every single Aliyah? Meaning we should give Kohanim however many Kohanim are in Shul, we have to be mechabit each individual Kohen with an Aliyah before Yisraelim. If we have to be mechabit the Kohanim before the Yisraelim, every single Kohen should receive an Aliyah. It's a kasha that Tiferes Yaakov, of Yaakov Gesundheit, asked on this Gemara again. How do we ever give a Yisrael an Aliyah? We should have to give the Kohen not only the first Aliyah, but every Aliyah. Why is it good enough with one token Aliyah at the beginning? So perhaps the answer is, because it's not an obligation to each individual Kohen. Maybe at the time that he's doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Mishtamish B'Kohen Mo'el. Then there's an obligation of cover to this individual Kohen. Now it's an obligation to the group of Kohanim to give them one Aliyah. But it's enough with one. Or the Gemara says, V'kidashtoi l'chol dover shebekdusha. So writes the Marasha on that Gemara, the Prima Gadim as well, in Simen Kuf Chavhei, in Simen Kuf Chavches, that this is only by a dover shebekdusha. What's a dover shebekdusha? Something that occurs, Klal Yisrael performs in a group. Kaddish, Kedusha is a Davar Shebekdusha. Or to speak first in a gathering to get the first Aliyah in Shul. Or Lito Manu Yafarishon, if we're at the Rites of Pimagal of Asudas Mitzvah, we should give the Kohen first. But if I'm going out to eat with the Kohen, it's just me and him, Rites to Marashah, then there's no obligation to be Mechabit the Kohen. It's not a personal cover that's due to this individual Kohen. I have to be Mechabit him, Lito Manu Yafarishon, to speak first. It's only when we're in a gathering, a davar shebekdusha, so then it's a matter that applies to the entire community. As a community, we should be mechabit, the kohanim first, the shevet of kohanim, not each individual kohen, because they were the ones who were designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, it could be that Rabbeinu Tam held, when it came to the Isser being mishtamish b'kohen, so then that only applies at the time that he's doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't use this individual kohen. But all manners of kedusha v'kidashu, to give him the first aliyah and shul, that's not the cover that's due to this individual kohen. That's a cover that's due to the entire shevet of kohanim, and that applies even at a time that there's no big day of aleihem, even when they're not doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It could be that these two mitzvahs are actually alluded to in the pasuk. The pasuk says v'kidashtoi ki aslechem alekecha hu makriv kadosh yeloch. Why does it say it twice? V'kidashtoi and kadosh yeloch. Because it could be that there's two aspects of this kedusha that's due to the kohen. One, the fact that this individual kohen does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, ki eslechem alekecha hu makriv, and then kadosh yaloch, a cover that's due to the entire shevet of kohanim, because they were designated by Kadosh Baruch Hu to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Both according to the Taz and according to the Mahalach we just suggested, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if the kohen is marechal, there's an obligation to be mechaber the kohen. And that seems to be the opinion of the Rambam as well. You look in the Rambam and say for our mitzvahs, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara Masechtas Yevamis. The Gemara tells us Masechtas Yevamis, commenting on this pasuk v'kidashto, even Bal Karcha. Let's say the kohen says, "I want to marry a grusha. I don't mind being metame myself to a mace." We would compel him to be nizhar in these yisurim. So too says the Rambam when it comes to being mechabed the kohen, it's not his up to his discretion. We can even compel him to accept the honor. It's not he doesn't have the latitude to be marchal. Even if the kohen is marchal, the mitzvah of kiddushah is still intact. Lamaisa, Rabbeinu Tam held mechila works. Sounds like the Rabbeinu Tam, perhaps, or even the Rambam hold that mechila does not operate when it comes to this mitzvah of kiddushah. How do we paskin with regards to this issue, lamaisa? So if you look in the Ramah, and Simikuf Chavches Sif Memhei, the Ramah says, quotes the Yushalmi, Masechtas Brachos, that was cited by the Gos Mordechai, that you're not allowed to be Mishtamish Bekayin, but if the Kayin is Marcho, Imloi Macho Akach, if the Kayin is Marcho, then one would be allowed to be Mishtamish the Kayin, to use the Kayin for his own personal service or benefit. The Ramah is passing like Rabbeinu Peter, that the Kayin was allowed to wash the hands of Rabbeinu Tam, because the Kayin was Marcho. However, the Mishnah Berurah on Sifkan Kufay and Hay quotes from the Taz, who said that Rabbeinu Tam disagreed, and he held that Mechila does not work. It was only over here where it was a covered for the Kohanim to wash his hands. He wasn't being Marcha on his covered. He was honoring the Kohen by allowing him to wash his hands. So that's when it's allowed. But all other instances, the Kohen, in fact, cannot be Marcha. V'yesh mishayim v'sheinu yachalitim v'shus l'shtamish boy. Even if the Kohen doesn't mind, he's not allowed to service someone else, unless he himself benefits from that. And concludes the Mishnah Berurah, v'toiv la'achmer l'chadchila. It's good to be machmer on this l'chadchila, not to be mishtamish with a kohen for his own personal benefit, unless the kohen himself receives some sort of a measure of hana. That's with regards to the Isa being mishtamish b'kohen, even on the individual kohen, the Mishnah Berurah, to the shevet of kohanim, even this individual kohen writes the Mishnah Berurah, l'chadchila should be machmer, that the kohen cannot be meichel on his coven. What about when it comes to giving him the first aliyah in shul, or benching first, or speaking first? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Zgin, in the conclusion of that sugya in the Tesma Beis, that if the kohen wants to give covered, in bolach lekover the rabbi lemisha gadol mimeno harishus biyodoi, kohen wants to give covered to his rebbe, someone who's greater than him, he can be meichel. Va'amar ma'alo loishanu el besuda. This is only true when it comes to benching by a meal or taking the first portion. When it comes to the first aliyah and shul, no, the asi lintsuye will lead to a machlekes, will lead to a fight. So Amar Rav Masna, hada amad beis haknes, because you're marchal to this one, you're marchal to this one. So Amar Rav Masna, hada amad beis haknes loy, lo amato b'shabbosis v'yamim tovim d'shkichi rabim. Shabbos and yomtiv, the shul is packed. Avo b'sheni v'chamishi loy, Monday and Thursday, then the kohen could be marchal, no one's going to fight, hopefully people are, barely paying attention. So to be Marcho at that point, no one's going to fight about it, then Mechila can work to give the aliyah to somebody else. But writes Taisvus there, quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, and this appears in Shulchan Aruch, Hani Mili Lididhu. That was by them that Shul was not crowded on Monday, Thursday. V'chol havi treated with Malachtim v'loi Shkichi. But in our times, Baruch Hashem, Shkichi, people are coming in the Shul, B'sheni v'chamishi, also on Monday, Thursday, just like Yom Tov. We'll get to 1 second. So you cannot, the kohen cannot be marchal even on a Monday and Thursday, and that's the way that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. So, but fine. So, with regards to aliyahs, sounds like from the Gemara, the kohen cannot give the aliyah to somebody else, even if he's marchal. What about, because it will lead to a machlekes, mivnei darkei shalom. What about with regards to benching first or speaking first? That it sounds like from the Gemara, if he wants to be machlekes and give it to somebody else, that he can. However, if you look in the Mordechai on that Gemara, he has two explanations of this in the name of the Rishonim. He quotes there first from the Marami Rutenberg, who understood the Gemara Kipshutai, that the Kohen could be machlekes to somebody else, to speak first, to bench. But then, the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Simcha, Kosev, De'ein yachol kayin litim reshus l'Yisrael levarech. Ki im l'rabboi or l'misha golem imenu. He can only do it because it was his Rebbe. It was a halach of Kavod HaTorah, or someone who's greater than him. Oh, so then it's my Kavod. I'm happy to give my aliyah to Chaim Kanievsky. Or I want to be Michael to my Rebbe, Kavod HaTorah, perhaps Shrem's Kavod of the Kayin. So when there's that mitigating factor of Kavod HaTorah, so then you can give the aliyah to somebody else. But otherwise, says Rabbeinu Simcha, the mechila of the kohen, even if the kohen is meichel, there would still be a mitzvah of v'kidashta, he would not be allowed to give the aliyah to somebody else. So how do we paskin? So we already said we don't give aliyahs in shul. We don't give aliyahs in shul to anybody other than the kohen because it will lead to a machlekes. And even if the person is his rebbe or a great talmud chacham, we have the practice of not doing so because it will lead to a machlekes. However, it does come up. The guy to one case is discussed by the Maharik. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, there was a shul that had the old practice of selling the first aliyah Shabbos Parshas Bereishis as a fundraiser. Not Chasim Bereishis on Simchas Torah. Here they would sell Shabbos Parshas Bereishis, the first aliyah. But if you're only going to sell it to a kohen, your ceiling will be much lower. We'd rather sell it to her, open it up to everybody. So the problem is, you're going to have to give the aliyah to someone who's not a kohen. But the kohanim were all part of the membership of the shul, and everyone agreed to do this as a fundraiser. So the kohen was meichel. So can they do this? So writes the Marik that they can do it, that the kohen was meichel, but the kohen has to leave the shul. Or, for example, the Rama quotes this with regards to a tainus tzibor, a laning for a tainus, and the kohen, the only kohen who's in shul, is not fasting. So we're going to give the aliyah, the first aliyah, to somebody else. So writes the Rama, we can't give it to the kohen. Writes the Rama, the kohen should leave the shul. Or the Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha, if the only kohen in shul is in the middle of Shemana Esrei or Kriya Shema. So he can't take the first aliyah. So writes the Mishnah Berurah that if we're going to give the aliyah to somebody else, we should ask the kohen to leave the shul. So the Beis Yosef, of course, discusses that same situation. Of the shul that had the minhag of selling the first aliyah Shabbos Parshas Bereishis, and even the kohen was meichel, something institutionalized, not going to lead to a machlekes. So I asked the Beis Yosef if it's allowed, and he says, "Any other lama tzarcha kohen? Lo tzis mi beis haknesses. Why did the Marik insist that the kohen leave the shul? Kishah kohen meichel al kvoda. He was meichel on his cover. Kadei shi kaim lo tzibur minhagam and also the tzibur should fulfill this minhag. Why do they have to leave? And it's not a problem to call up the kohen. You'll say, plenty." Yeah, plenty, bim chilas kain. Or, afo pishyesh kan kain. Yamod plenty, bim kain. You come up with some creative lotion. Why does the kain have to leave the shul? So perhaps the Marik held, like the Rabbeinu Simcha that the Mordechai quoted, that no, the kain cannot be Marcha on his covered. Even when the kain is Marcha on his covered, we have an obligation to give the kain the first aliyah. It was only when it was a covered out Torah was a mitigating factor. Or it was to give it to his Rebbe, that itself is a covered for me. To give it to my Rebbe, to give it to the Gadol Adar, so then it's allowed. But otherwise, perhaps on a regular basis for the kohen to be machon is covered, not, and the kohen would have to in fact leave the shul. But can it be done? Can we ask the kohen to be machon and ask him to leave the shul? So it sounds like from that minig that was established by that kehila that they sold the first aliyah Shabbos Parshas Bereishis that it can be done as long as you receive the permission of the kohen. At the same time, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of Chassam Sofer. That this should not be done on a regular basis. Unless it's a minhag kavua, and it shouldn't be done ad hoc. Because we can't pressure the kohanim to be meichel. But if this was an established practice, it was something that wasn't on a regular basis, you know, it didn't occur every week. It was something that was established minhag, so then that's valid. But to do so on a regular basis, or, you know, to pressure kohanim into doing this, is not something that should be done. So Rav Moshe writes that, in the tshuva, that let's say you have many chiyuvim in shul, so Rav Moshe says he thinks on Shabbos and Yom Tov you should not ask the kohen to leave the shul to be meichel on his kavan. Also lead to machlekes. But Rav Moshe says on Sheni v'Chamishi we're already in the times of the Gemara they allow the kohen to give the aliyah to somebody else. It's not going to lead to a machlekes, even though some argue that was only to someone who's greater than him. The Maharsha understood that already in the time of the Gemara, Sheni v'Chavishi was more, there was more room to maneuver. So Maharsha says, on Sheni v'Chavishi, if you have many chiyuvim, and Ramesh says, in our time, unfortunately, we've reverted back to the times of the Gemara. Sheni v'Chavishi, people are running out to go to work. They're not paying as much attention as we would like. So Sheni v'Chavishi, or Shabbos Mincha, yeah, then you could ask the Kohen to be Michael, but I think preferably the Kohen should leave. So the Ramah quotes those who are Meikel that the Kohen can be Meikel on his covered, but as we mentioned, that there are many who disagree that the Kohen cannot be Meikel on his covered. Yeah.
It's another reason the Kohen leaves. It shouldn't be a Pagam, no?
It shouldn't
be. They say he's Pogam. They don't give him a leave, I'm sure.
We'll say, Bimchilas Kohen. We're not going to say Bimkohen Kohen. Then it sounds like you're not a Kohen. So we say, Bimchilas Kohen, or Afo Pishi Ishkan Kohen. Bimkohen Kohen. The Ksav Sofer writes, though, one final note is that perhaps some argue that the Kohen cannot be Meichel on his covered because, again, we're not dealing with the covered of the individual Kohen. We're dealing with the Kohanim as vehicles, a vicarious way of being Mechaber the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is something that's important to keep in mind. But as the Ksav Sofer as well, it's important for us all to have, put the Kohanim on a pedestal, to always have something to look up to someone who's dedicated their life to a greater degree than ourselves, to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in order to be successful, we all need somebody who we put on a pedestal, someone who we look up to, that we're striving to emulate and aspiring to be like. Okay.
What's called Shemesh? What's called Shemesh?
You don't
want to
clean up now?
No, seriously, like my daughter says, she asked me to pass the salad.
Yeah.